All right. Q, what's going on, man?
Not much. Just getting used to life in China.
Not much. You just happen to be on the opposite side of the earth right now.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're upside down from me. You're literally like pointing in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I told you last time, even though I've never lived in China, I've only visited, I feel to some degree, I kind of want to say welcome. I don't know why. I feel like obligated to be like
Chinese American telling me welcome to China. Yeah. You don't live here.
I don't even know why I feel that way. My parents were they haven't, But
here's the thing. Like I have a lot of like Chinese friends back in North America. As a matter of fact, my college roommate, she's from Wuhan. And so, and this is important. We'll get into this in a minute, but when she moved to Canada to go to university, we ended up in the same accounting class. So by the time that I met her in the accounting class, she'd only been in Canada for like less than a year. So we ended up making friends like immediately. And she ended up hanging out with me and my friends. She eventually moved into a vacant room in the same house. And she just became like one of the boys. We used to like hang out and go places together, took her to Caravana. Like, you know, we became basically like brother and sister. We've been friends for
Grad school or undergrad?
No, undergrad.
Okay.
Yeah, we've been friends for like 23 years. Like we made friends in 2022. So my dumbass did not tell her that I was moving to China. I thought, oh, let it be a surprise. Right now she lives in Las Vegas, Nevada with her husband. So my dumbass is like, oh, you know, let it be a surprise. I'll tell her when I get here. And I did. And she's like, I fucking hate you because you have no idea how much trouble you're going to encounter that you could have avoided if you'd have just told me first. I could have prepared you. And she was absolutely right. She was 100%.
What did she mean by that?
Everything,
anything specific? Like,
dude, like I tried to order groceries yesterday because like you can go to the grocery store, but like where I live is like right downtown in Tianjin. So going to the grocery store, it's a DD. It's more expensive to get a cab and go to the grocery store than just have the grocery delivered to you. And on top of that, when I'm at the grocery store, I would probably have to like call her and then put on like video camera so she can actually see the items that I'm picking up. So for example, like milk doesn't look the same here as it does over there. Yogurt doesn't look the same here as it is over there. I might go to the dairy section and pick up what I think is like a 1 liter bottle of milk, and it turns out to be yogurt instead.
Right.
So like,
right.
Unless I'm taking pictures of everything that I'm shopping for and sending it to her to translate, then I won't know. So she's like, it's better if you just order, like create a grocery list on this app. I think it's called Ulema. Mm-hmm. It's like an online grocery delivery service, like Chinese Instacart. So it's better that you just go make a list on there, send it over to me. I can double check it and make sure that you're getting the stuff that you thought you were.
Rather than sort of in real time talking with someone like a shopper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
And the thing is like, I mean, the shoppers, they don't speak English at all. The delivery people, they don't speak English at all. So yeah, there's just no hope.
Right.
That and like, I needed stuff for the household. Like I moved into an apartment here. And an apartment's not a hotel. Like the apartments are furnished, or at least like it's very common that when you get an apartment, the apartment's already furnished. But like toiletries, bath towels, you know, dishes, pots, pans, that kind of stuff, you have to get on your own. There's not going to be a store you can go to buy that stuff. Like there's no Target here where you can just go get everything that you need. There is a Walmart, but it's a ways away from me. So. Mm-hmm. You order stuff on Taobao, which is cheaper anyway than going to a Walmart or even like a local store, much cheaper. But again, the problem is when the stuff from Taobao gets delivered, it doesn't come right to your door because the delivery drivers are not allowed to come to your door. There's a gate with a security guard at the foyer of the building. And then to get through the gate, it's almost like a subway gate, like one of those like New York City subway gates. You have to open an app on your phone and press the key fob button. which opens the gate for you specifically. And then when you get in the elevator, you can't press the button and get up to the floor that you want. You have to press the key fob button again, and it will light up the floor on the elevator that you're supposed to go
to.
Wow.
Jeez. Okay.
Yeah. Security is intense. And like,
so they can only so even when they're in the compound, they can only get to your floor.
They can only, even when they get into, like when the delivery person gets to the building, they can only get to the foyer. They can't get past that.
Oh, okay. So they can't come up.
They can't even get to your floor. Or they just leave stuff in the foyer. Like they'll just leave, so this is completely, it's really weird how like the level of trust exists in some areas and just not in others. So they can leave the stuff that they're delivering for you at the foyer, and you can trust that when you go downstairs to pick it up, it will be there. However,
sorry, you cut out there for a second until you said, until just now.
Oh, sorry.
I heard you up until you said you can trust that it'll still be there. However.
Oh yeah. However, if you have like household items that are delivered, it doesn't go to the foyer. There's actually like a little mall in this building. So the building I live in is like a massive building. Like thousands of people live here. Thousands of thousands. So it's a huge building. With like 46 floors.
Mm.
But there's
monster.
Yeah, yeah. And they're all like that. Like all the buildings here, all the residential buildings are like that. Like they're, you know, 45, 50, 55 floors tall. And
damn, okay.
Sometimes they're like two buildings in one. They house like thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah.
I would hesitate to call it a mall. It's like a small shopping center on the ground floor. Mm-hmm. And there are various stores in the shopping center. And I guess part of the way they supplement their income is by acting as like a depot for delivered items. When your stuff arrives from Taobao, it'll say, go to this store. And each store has like a label, like it has a, like an address label. So like Jitsi Express, you know, go to the store at A1086. And then so you go to like the store and it'll say on a like an address plate next to the name of the store, A1086. They'll have like a small address plate. So you know that that's where you go. And it'll say like your item is on shelf number 9. Shelf number 9, rack 3. And it's labeled with item 1079, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So the shopkeepers will put everything in the correct order so that it's easy for you to find it. So anyway, I didn't realize that that's how any of that shit worked.
Yeah.
So the first day, like when I had to get like, you know, like, again, like bath towels, plates, cups, you know, coffee maker, mop bucket, broom, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I had to get on the phone with my friend in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And, I mean, luckily she has the time. She has the time to do it because she's she doesn't have to work. She works, but she doesn't have to because she hasn't worked a very good job. So you know, she had the time to like navigate me through my adventures and get like picking up shit from the delivery source. Anyway, it was the whole process was
rather. Wait, you might want to sit closer to the mic because you're fading a little bit.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, the whole process was kind of frustrating, but overall, like, you know, I'm fine now.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, so what about like finding the apartment and stuff? Was it all like sort of pre-set for you, or did you have to go and find one for yourself? Was that kind of taking care of you through the employment?
Yeah, my workplace set me up with a rental agent, and then the rental agent takes me to look at different properties, and oh my God, that's a whole other kettle of fish, which I'm not even sure.
Were you in a hotel that whole time and then you just got to pick one? Or
I was in a hotel for like a week. And then I did my job training in Beijing for a week. And then
out of a hotel?
Yeah, exactly.
Staying
in a hotel. Then they sent my ass down to Tianjin. I was in a hotel for one night the following morning.
That's pretty close, right? Aren't the two like sort of...
It's about like 90 minutes drive.
Not too far, right?
If you take the high speed train, it's more like a half an hour. But with all my luggage and whatnot, there would be like no way for me to take the train.
Right.
So they put me in a cab and had me driven down there. When I arrived, I stayed in a hotel for one night. I don't know if you saw like my post where I ordered food and a robot delivered it to my door.
Yeah, the little R2 unit.
Yeah, exactly. An R2 unit delivered it to my door. So like, yeah, I got a call.
Yeah.
That was really funny. Like, I got a call.
It just like, it just kind of like peaced out, right? Like, it gave your food. And yeah. Was like, I gotta go.
It's like, I'm out of here.
Good luck, bro.
I got a phone call, and I thought it was like the delivery app saying, like, hey, your driver is at your door. I'm like, oh, they're too polite to knock. All right, let me open the door real quick. And yeah, I opened it, and I had cash on me too. I was going to tip the guy, which I know that tipping's not normal here, but I was going to do it anyway. Yeah, it's an R2 unit. I was like, all right, well, bye. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, what are you with? Beep, beep, beep.
That's exactly what happened.
And you know, it was rude. It was like, you know.
Fucking foreigners. It caught me a lie, then I left.
That's awesome. Anyway,
the following morning, then I had to like look at a bunch of different apartments. I found a place. Oh my goodness! And so here's the thing, man. Like, I don't know, like how familiar you are with like the rental units out here, because Tianjin is it's a very large city, but the apartments are, let's say, a bit older. So, when they say that it's a one bedroom apartment, because I asked for like a one bedroom, I only, you know, just need a one bedroom for me for the time being. Until, you know, my kids come to visit me at a later point, that I can have a look at two bedrooms. But when they say one bedroom, they don't mean like a bedroom separate from the rest of the apartment. It's basically a studio apartment. Because there's a bed there, and like once you get off the couch and then you step over, there's no threshold. It's an imaginary threshold. Okay. The invisible line between your couch and your bed, now you're in your bedroom. It's like, can I get a place? Yeah. No balcony. Okay. It's just a window. And there's no stove. You have a hot plate, which is really funny, because I asked, like, why aren't there gas stoves in these units? And so the rental agent says through an interpreter that they're fire hazards. I'm like, that's really funny. That's why there are so many Chinese students at University of Toronto that buy the hot plates and bring them into their dorms, and we call that a fire hazard.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh.
So like all the
has gas in that building?
There are apartments that have the gas stoves, but not all of them do. Especially if you're on a lower floor, you're not going to have the gas stove. If you're on a higher floor, more likely to. Yeah.
Interesting. Wow. I'm
guessing the reasoning there, I'm just guessing, is that, well, if you're on a higher floor and you cause a fire, well, you know, you're not going to take
your only burn the people above you.
Yeah, exactly.
Fire burns up. You'll be all right, guys.
Pretty much.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, but anyway.
Right, so you're cooking and stuff? You're cooking for yourself? You got all that going?
Oh, my gosh. Well, spices and everything are different here, too.
So they're different, dude. Yeah, yeah.
I do not know how to cook Chinese food, so I'm going to
have to. What do you usually cook? Do you cook Jamaican food? Do you cook, like, Canadian? Just, like, I don't know what that means. Like, do you cook poutine?
No, like, normally I would cook just, like, Jamaican food, or really just, especially, like, if it's just me, like, I'll just cook, you know, like, in an air fryer. I'll cook, like, chicken breasts and sweet potatoes and that kind of stuff. Because very simply. If it's, like, me and family, then obviously cooking Jamaican food. However, you will not find the proper herbs or spices for any of that here.
You're not going to find a jerk sauce in China.
I
don't think you're going to find any of that.
Maybe I can make something off of importing it. Who knows? But
could be.
I'm going to have to learn to cook with peanut oil. So
are there any international markets there? Like anything?
Yeah,
because I do think one thing that China really lacks that you get in spades in America, including Canada, of course, is just a sort of like global pantry, you know?
Including Canada. You're repeating that 51st state rhetoric too? Oh, no.
I meant like North America.
I know.
Yeah, no. You know what I mean. But
no, there's
we have global pay, like Toronto and New York City. Like a Chinese person could find everything they want here in a way that you know, an American or a Canadian's not going to be able to find.
You are not.
That
find
is the advantage. Yeah.
There is a neighborhood in Beijing, which the name I forget off the top of my head, but there is a neighborhood in Beijing where all of the embassies are located. So there's...
Is it like Sanlitun or something like that?
Yeah, Sanlitun, which I actually... Yeah. A coworker took me there the other night and we hung out. I had hot pot for the first time. It was amazing.
Is it... Because when I first went there back in 2003 or something, it was kind of the like red light district of Beijing, but now I think it's more...
Word?
High class.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That kind of makes sense. I'm like, okay...
It was like Beijing's, version. It kind of felt like Bangkok there a little bit,
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Because, like, that's where all the bars and restaurants are located. There's a lot of, like, international-type places there.
Yeah,
but all the embassies are there. So I'm like, okay, well, that would make sense that the embassies are here. So they locate, like, more, like, international types of accommodations, restaurants, etc. here. But when you said red light, district, I'm like, that kind of makes sense. Because a lot of these places look like they might have been brothels once upon a time.
Oh, it was totally, it was totally that.
Oh, that's funny.
But I've heard it's changed. I haven't been back to Beijing since then. So that's that, like, I only know Beijing from, like, more than 20 years ago.
It's very cosmopolitan. And
I didn't feel that way when I went there.
in Toronto, there's in Toronto on, like, King Street, there's a street called King Street, which is, like,
I'm familiar with it. Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's where sort of in the...
goes through downtown, like the heart of the downtown area.
Yeah. It's where like the Toronto Film Festival takes place. Mm-hmm. And there used to be like a row. Like if you walk down King Street and Peter, we call that Restaurant Row. Where like all the buildings, like as far as you walk down King Street between Peter and Spadina, it's all just like different types of restaurants. Mm-hmm. And it suddenly reminded me a lot of that area.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, man, it was a weird place, China in 20 some years ago. I remember I posted a picture of that my friend, I went with like one of my really good friends from childhood, and he took a picture of me. We had digital cameras at that time already. It was like 2004, 2003. Mm. And we were walking down a pretty busy road in Shanghai at night. But it's like completely dark. Like there's no fucking lights on at all. It looks like a blackout or a brownout, right? And everything's dark. And the flash goes off, and like the only thing that's basically lit up is like me. Yeah. And then off in the sides, you could see like these really like skinny Chinese dudes, like super tan because they're out laboring all day. They're just wearing boxer shorts because it's fucking summer. And they're all smoking and like it's very fucking third world, right? Okay. And but in the back, as proof, I'm like, dude, this is Shanghai, I'm telling you. You can see Jingmao Tower. Mm. Right? That famous Jingmao Tower that went up in Pudong, like sort of in the really, really like, heart of downtown Shanghai. And Jingmao Tower, you could see the very distinct shape of it in the back, but it's also completely blacked out. Like there's nobody in there at night. The lights are all turned off. And that was just like 20 some years ago. And I think a lot of people, like a lot of foreigners were remarking on the photo that I posted. I didn't expect it to get passed around that much on Twitter, but people were like, holy shit, that was 20 years ago. Like, imagine that. Like, what can happen in 20 years? I think a lot of people, were remarking on this from like, sort of developing countries going like, that's pretty interesting. You know what I mean? Because I was like, yeah, man, Shanghai was not... You could tell that it was up and coming, but it still had aspects of like a developing city. You know what I mean? Like just 20 years ago. Now, and I haven't been back. Now I hear it's like super fucking modern. So
here's the thing. Like China is... It's very cyberpunk. Like a lot of stuff is super modern. And then, but there's still like remnants of... that bygone era. Even the building where I live, okay, for example, like you come here and you really begin to understand, even as much as people complain about condo associations and homeowners fees, you really begin to understand the value of like having a condo association so that there's upkeep of common areas.
Okay, is it a little rundown?
Well, like it's like inside the apartments are like super modern, very clean, pristine actually, but like the common areas can end up getting run down, and you understand why. It's like, well, if you're not paying for the common areas, then they're just going to fall into disrepair. So like when they were walking me through the rental agent and the interpreter were walking me through the building to find my apartment, I'm like, I had to ask the interpreter. I was like, do they have problems with, like, you know, mice or roaches or anything like that? Like, are there pests? Anyway, so I was like asking questions because I'm thinking, like, yo, this place is looking kind of seedy. And then they opened the door to the apartment. I'm like, oh shit, this place looks nice. And then I realized, because I asked, like, so I don't understand. Like, normally in, like, North America, you know, like, the hallways are, like, painted. They're very clean. The tiles are replaced if they start to crack. What's going on here? He's like, oh, that's because, like, who's going to pay for it? And I'm like, the condominium fees pay for it. He's like, oh yeah, we don't pay that here. So and the same thing with the shopping center downstairs where I go pick up myself. Now obviously, like, it's not going to be like this everywhere. Like, from what I understand, the newer buildings are not like this. Like, the building I'm in was built in the early 2000s, but the newer buildings are not like this. Like, they do have condo fees. There is general upkeep and maintenance and so on. But I go to the shopping center downstairs again, it's like you see like remnants of, like, that old prideful, like, looking to the future communist era. Like, on the benches inside the mall, there's, like, statues of, like people of the Great Republic, like, you know, putting their hand, their flattening their hands and putting it up to their, just above their eyes, so they can, like, see without the sun shining in their eyes.
Yeah. Very dramatic, looking off into the distance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or like, the mother like smiling, and the kids like running, the kids running. Yeah, stuff like that. Like, you see remnants of that old, like, nationalistic era, but it's like in complete disrepair. So again,
have you seen any squat toilets?
I have seen apartment listings with squat toilets, and I specifically asked for the agent to not show me any of them because I'm not interested.
Like, yeah.
So, yeah. Sorry. I sit on a throne. I do not squat.
Yeah, I can't. I don't have the flexibility. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, think I about it. I'm like, bro, yeah. No, dangerous. No. I'm gonna fall into that. No,
bro. I had the knee surgery last summer.
Yeah, the knee surgery. I can't be doing this. This is a young man's game. I don't know.
Yeah. Like,
exactly. You know, like, imagine the fitness level of China back then, when, like, even just, like, old dudes could just straight up squat, you know.
Well, no, this problem. This is why in, like, the old, like, 1970s, 1980s Chinese movies, I was like, man, their thighs are looking sick. How do they do? Like, I figured that they're all just, like, working out at the gym. No, they're just walking. They're just pooping three times a day.
They're just having three poops a day, and that's, like, a fucking, you know, high intensity workout.
Yeah, it is. You know, even, I mean? I wear an Apple Watch, so I do track my steps. Bro, my steps have almost tripled since I got here.
Yeah, well,
right. Like, you do a lot of walking, and wheelchair accessibility ain't no such thing, bro. Ain't no such thing. Even just like walking with my luggage to go from, you know, from the hotel to take it out to the car and whatever, right? There are those electrical cable covers that you would have, like, going up your wall if you can't, like, drill behind the wall and put the electrical cables there. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they have the outdoor ones where it's like these, like, PVC, like, plates that go over the, because like, it's 240 volt electrical wire that's running between buildings, so they cover it obviously. But, like, I'm walking and I'm lugging my suitcase over it, and I'm just looking around at the street, and I'm like, if you were in a wheelchair in the city, you would not make it. Like, you better just stay your ass home. Yeah. You know? Even like coming into my apartment, once you get off the elevator, you walk out into the hallway, then you have to go down a half flight of stairs to get to the apartment, because all of the apartments have pretty high ceilings. So to have a high ceiling, you have to go down a few steps to give your, like, to give the apartment the clearance.
Sure.
So, yeah. So if you're in a wheelchair, you just can't live in this building.
Do you have, like, your bathroom? Does it have, like, its own water heater thing in the bathroom?
There's a boiler, like a water heater, just above.
Yeah, the, like, your own toilet. Personal hot water heater, right?
Yeah. But there's none.
And you gotta turn it on and off and stuff.
No, it stays on. It stays on.
Oh, stays on. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people just turn it off, and then they'll turn it on when they get home.
Oh, word. Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying, like, that's just what I noticed. People are like, oh, because I'd be like, visiting. You know, my wife's family and stuff, and then I'm like, I'm gonna take a shower. They're like, let me turn the hot water.
Turn the water on. Yeah.
And I had no idea what that meant, and then I realized, oh, there's an actual individualized hot water heater in each bathroom. Tank. So I guess the whole thing is, I guess it simplifies the whole thing. They don't have like central.
Yeah, I guess that does make sense. But here's the thing. There's none in the kitchen. So the kitchen is just cold water.
There's no hot water in the kitchen. Interesting.
No, there's a boiler under the sink if you have it.
If you need it,
In this apartment, there is none. So if I wanted to wash the dishes with hot water, I'll have to like get a basin and fill it with hot water from the bathroom and then bring it up to the kitchen.
Do you have a water boiler? Like a hot water kettle?
So I have a kettle, but I have to get one of those water tanks, like the water dispensers. Yeah, I ordered one on Taobao, and there's in the shops downstairs, there's a place that sells the water jugs. So you take a jug up, when you're done, you bring it back, or you return the empty and take a full one. So I'll have to figure out how to get set up on that. Right now, I've just been living off of water bottles. A kettle.
Like you mean they give you hot water, or they give you like filtered drinkable water?
Oh no! Yeah, they give you filtered drinkable water in these plastic jugs, like the big like 10 gallon plastic jugs.
Can you just take tap water, boil it, and drink that?
Oh no! I have been advised. No, because there's heavy metals in the water. They go through lead pipes, and I'm not sure. Like oftentimes, lead pipes are fine. But the problem is, like, if there are additives to the water to make it purified, like chlorine or fluoride and stuff like that, oftentimes it will leach lead from the pipes, and then deliver it to your home. Which is why, like, in a lot of states and in Canada as well, there's an ongoing effort to replace all the lead pipes. But here, I'm supposing that, you know, if the effort exists, it hasn't reached Tianjin yet. So there's the matter of like, you can boil the water just to make sure that it's safe and drinkable. But when you evaporate water, there's less water there, which means you're concentrating the heavy metals. So you eventually you will give yourself lead poisoning.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think what you're describing kind of matches my expectations. Like, I haven't been to China in 6 years, but like I always get the feeling like online the discourse around China is very much around, oh, it's like way more advanced than we think. But I'm like, but that's working off a baseline where y'all thought like it was just like a bunch of rice farmers and peasants. You know what I mean? Like,
it's not hard to beat
your expectations.
It reminds me a lot of like, what if you took Jamaica and modernized it to current day standards and technologies in the span of 15 years, what would it look like? And I'm like, it would probably look a lot like China.
It would look like that, yeah. I mean, it's clear that it still has a ways to go, right? Like, it's not fully there in terms of...
Well, it's almost like the technology is there, and it's just like the infrastructure is slowly catching up, that's pretty obvious. Like, it's a lot easier to add modern day technology to existing infrastructure, which might be older, than to modernize all the infrastructure and then add the technology. It's like, no, if you add the technology, then, and you also create like a healthy domestic economy, then the infrastructure will just naturally catch up. And for new infrastructure projects, like for new cities, buildings, et cetera, well, they come with the technology integrated. But the thing that I know, like the difference between here and America, is that in America, if you're the place where you live or the neighborhood where you live, if it's not modern infrastructure, the technology will not catch up. For example, banking. Like here, nobody really carries cash. You use your phone for pretty much everything. So if you want to hail a driver, if you want to have groceries delivered, if you want to pay at a store, like nobody pays cash at a store. They don't pull their wallets out. You don't even really need your wallet.
Yeah, it's like bizarre to do that. They look at you like you're kind of crazy. Yeah.
But here's the important thing. So, but you need to make sure that your phone is always charged. Your phone can't die. If your phone dies, well, then you're shit out of luck. So what do you do then? Yeah. So in the US, like if your phone dies, your phone dies. That's it. You know? So then you'd just be cut off. But here, there's a company called Meituan, which Meituan is like the delivery service. So imagine it's like the kind of halfway between like Uber Eats it's kind of like the Uber Eats of China.
Instacart or something like that. Yeah.
Instacart is more Ulema, but, and I'm probably like severely mispronouncing that. Meituan has these like battery charging banks, and they're everywhere.
Yeah.
So
restaurants and stuff too, right?
Like, everywhere.
You'll find them in restaurants.
And outside of a shop, you know, at a park, like you'll find them everywhere. So if your phone is running low on battery, you just use the app and find the closest bank of chargers. You run over to it, you scan it with your phone, you pay a small fee. I forget how much it is, but it's like, it's dirt cheap. It's like $1 or something, and or the equivalent of $1. And then it'll pop out one of the battery chargers from the bank, and then you use that to charge your phone. And then when you're done, you just put it back at another bank. And if you don't return it, then obviously you get charged for it. Yeah. But like, yeah, so like it's the technology exists in such a way that it's bringing everybody up to speed. I even notice like old people when they get in the elevator, I'm like, oh, this phone app, I couldn't imagine like my grandmother using it. But then I see, you know, senior citizens who are close to my grandmother's age pulling out their phones and then using the app to open the security gate at the foyer and then to select their floor in the elevator. So I'm like, well, you know, I guess shit just works over here. Yeah.
Mm. Are you noticing like, you know, a lot of other, are you typically the only foreigner in a shop, or are there like in a big shop? I mean, but like, or are there, or are there lots of others? Or,
As far as I can tell, I'm the only Laowai in this building.
Oh wow!
As far as I can, and there are thousands. Oh gosh. Okay, so the whole ordering the groceries thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so yesterday, like there was an error somehow. The driver like didn't complete the order. He returned the order to the store. I don't know for what reason. So I was trying to call my friend in Las Vegas, my old roommate in Las Vegas, to help me figure out what happened to the order and possibly to order it again. So the reason I found out it was at the store was because the security guard, she talked to the security guard over speakerphone, who doesn't speak any English. Like, she was interpreting for me. And then he said, okay, well, just call the service and then they can explain. And he would basically try to figure out what happened. So when the conversation was finished, my translation app failed, like just completely failed. It just was not translating. A bunch of kids who are, I guess, like on the way to a soccer game or something, and then somebody's mom had just come off the elevator, and they all like shouted and waved at the foreigner because he was asking them for help. And then so like they pointed out the one in the group who spoke the best English, and then she helped me understand the order was returned. So it was like, it's funny because now I think at this point, everybody recognizes like, okay, we have like one goofy foreigner in the building. It's this guy.
You're like the village retard.
Yeah.
That guy can't read.
I didn't want to say it, but it's okay, absolutely true.
Let me tell you.
I even said to them, I'm like, whoever can help me with this is getting free English lessons.
No. Let me make you feel a little better about this.
Okay.
At least you're visibly foreign. Right. Yeah. Like the worst is if you're like me. Now, I guess I'm okay because my Chinese has gotten a lot better lately.
Yeah.
So I'd probably be okay. But, like, I still can't read very well, you know? And, like, and when I was a kid, my Chinese was pretty awful. And, but I look like a local, especially as a kid. As an adult, you kind of diverge. Now I'm sort of, like, too fat to be a Chinese guy. So the Chinese are catching up in terms of fat.
Oh, well, I mean, they are catching up, but.
Catching up.
Buddy,
yeah.
do not gain. Do not gain weight visibly around them. They will let you know. They have told me. Other Laowai who come here and they ask me like, why are they all? Because I am fatter than I used to be because of the injury and recovery and all that. But to the average person, I guess I look like I'm in pretty good shape. So everybody, when I say everybody, I'm talking like everybody has asked me about like, oh, so like, what's your exercise routine? And, you know, what do you do to keep in shape and so on? Because I'm fairly tall, like I'm 191 centimeters. In the north, that's not, I guess it is kind of tall. I have noticed people who are as tall or taller than me, but they're apparently like rarities. But like, you know, people will see that I'm like tall and broad shouldered. So they ask me what my workout routine is and everything. And anyway, when I explain, I'm like, oh, is that like not normal for like foreigners to be in shape? And they're like, oh, no. A lot of fat people come here.
To China?
Yeah. A lot of fat Laowai come. And then so the person I was talking to has also said, and the worst thing is when a Chinese born overseas comes here and they look so fat. Why do they look so fat? What are they feeding you over there?
Dude, I remember I spent like a good, almost a month in China last time.
Yeah.
And then I got on the plane and there were two Chinese Americans and I was sitting in between these two guys and they were fucking huge. And I'm like, man, what is wrong with us? Because I'm like, I'm not thin enough to get in there and be the innocent one, to be honest. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm like, you know, at least half as guilty of these as these fat motherfuckers next to me. But I'm like, here we are, the dumpy ass Chinese American. Yeah. But like when I was a kid, I remember like I went to Taiwan and it still stands out to me. My dad took me to some shop. We were buying something for me. Like it was books or games or something. And the shop owner gave me a list, like a list of all the items that he had. And he was like, oh, just pick it off the list. And I was like, yeah, I can't read that. So I gave it to my dad. And the dude was like, what do you mean you can't read? I was like, I can't read it. I'm not from here, dude.
He's like, what are you, stupid?
And he was like, what are you, fucking stupid? And my dad's like, yo, hey. My dad's like, only I get to call them fucking stupid, all right? They don't learn Chinese characters in fucking class. He was like, you should be impressed that this American idiot can even speak Chinese. I was like, yeah, thanks, Dad. Thanks for getting my back. And the shop owner was not impressed. He was like, he looks like he should read, but I guess he's a fucking retard. So yeah. I guess, you know, it's kind of hard because it's kind of embarrassing when you look like you should be able to speak and read and everything. And I know. People are like, what? And I can speak it good enough where people are like, maybe you're not from around here, but you're still like Chinese. Do you know what I mean? Like maybe you're from a different province. But what's up with the not reading part, dude? You know, like, why did you let that slide? And I'm like,
oh, yeah, why did you let that happen? Dude. Why didn't you teach him how to read in Chinese? How about that? Yeah, the
I'm like, do you really think I just never learned? Like, I lived in China my whole life. Yeah. I'm a local Chinese, but I just happened to never learn to read. Like, it's not
apparently.
They're like, yeah, that's what we think you are. We think you're a fucking moron. I'm like, yeah. So I guess what I'm trying to say is like, sometimes I think in a way it's nice to be like visibly foreign because then it's like everyone's fine.
Yeah, nobody expects that of you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's not that expectation.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the funny thing. You know how like you know, with like children who are slow, let's say, sometimes when they like accomplish just mundane things, it's like, oh my gosh, that's so good, amazing.
Yay, yeah, nice.
People have been doing that with my pronunciation. So like I've been making a concerted effort to learn the proper pronunciations of words. And when I do, like, oh my gosh, your pronunciation is so good. You know, you're gonna learn Chinese in no time. I'm like, yeah, thanks. Thank you. You should have just why don't you just reach up and pat me on the head while you're at it?
Right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. It is. I will say, when I hear, it's still kind of jarring to see foreigners with like really good Chinese pronunciation, just because it's just rare. That's all.
Oh,
it's just,
bro, why does everybody want to show me Zhao Hongxue videos of like? There's this one white actor. I forget his name. I'll send you the video in a minute. But this one white actor who, when I tell you, because he's been here since he was like 17. He's in his late 40s now. So he's like, you know, like, he's been here for like 30 years.
Is he like a comedian? No.
He's like a serious film actor.
Oh, okay.
His mannerisms and the way he speaks, he doesn't speak Chinese. He just is Chinese.
He is Chinese. Yeah, yeah.
He talks like an old Chinese man. Like in the middle of his sentences, he goes like, yeah. And I'm just like, bro, like I only ever see old Chinese guys do that. Like the way that he kind of like hunches over and then like speaks as if he's imparting like multi-generational wisdom. The guy is just Chinese at this point.
Yeah, there's a uncle something, I forgot his name. He's ethnic Russian, but he lives in the north and he's Chinese, like nationally, like his nationality. And all of his family's historically been Chinese for like generations. Right. And his Mandarin is not very good, but it's not because he doesn't speak Mandarin. It's because he speaks the local dialect. You know, so his Mandarin is like accented, but with a local accent. So he's even more Chinese than, you know, like, than, he's more Chinese than Mandarin. You know, he's like, dude, I predate Mandarin. I don't know.
That's what I was saying to people. I'm just like, you know what? I'm gonna like go down to Sichuan for a few years, learn to speak Chinese there, and then come back and speak like a Sichuan local. It's gonna throw you off.
Pick up like a distinct local accent if you want like true credibility.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
Oh man. I can't believe so.
I just sent you. If you check your WeChat, I just sent you the guy's video. But sorry, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll check that. Yeah, man. So, what's the plan? How long are you going to be out there for? You think is it indefinite?
At this point, it's indefinite. I have no idea. I don't know, man. Like, I will say.
But you were telling.
Sorry, go ahead.
But you were telling me like you had like sort of like longer term goals. Like business.
Yeah. Part of it is that like, part of it is like helping a family business. So looking for wholesalers out here, like looking for reliable wholesalers. Yeah.
Your family, you mean? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, at some point, like after I've gotten used to my job and gotten good enough at it that, you know, I'm not spending like every waking hour making sure that I don't fuck up somehow. Then I'll be looking into, reliable wholesalers that can ship out to Jamaica and Canada, and ideally, we would be setting up a business. Maybe, you know, whether it's like finding a partnership here or even setting up a what do they call it, the Wolfie, wholly foreign owned enterprises, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
man. There's probably going to be all sorts of like arbitrage opportunities get around these sanctions. It's going to be.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like there's going to be a very complicated trade. For sanctions, like optimization. I don't think it's going away, dude. This sanctions thing,
the tariffs.
Tariffs. Because like, you know, like Trump did this in his first term, but it was doing targeted sanctions, but they were amounted to trade blockades, and the Democrats opposed it, and they said this is bad.
Were they sanctions or were they like the tariffs that had the loopholes where if you have like products that are assembled in another country, but they originated from China, they were fine. I think
they were more export oriented sanctions, right? So they couldn't send like the NVIDIA H100 chips out.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
And so, but it was unfair. It was like hurting American businesses. You know, it's like you couldn't do it without some cost. And so like, you know, the Democrats were sort of like belly aching on behalf of the business community to say like, you know, it's unproductive. You're starting a trade war. But then when Biden got into office, I mean, he just like doubled down on that shit. He was like, and so I don't really think that these things are going to come down. I mean, I think we might move off the 125% or 140, whatever the fuck it is. We might get it down to some. Like, well, here's maybe it settles at like 45% or something, but it's
going to
be there.
Here's the thing. Yeah, sure, the tariffs are going to be there. But I've seen the wholesale prices over here, and it doesn't matter. If there's a 50% to 75% tariff, the shit is just cheaper.
All that shit was pure profit, though.
I know.
It's going to kill the profit, which is good. I mean, I think that's good. I agree.
It is good, but it also creates opportunities for other, like if you're smart enough, like if you're savvy enough to be able to get into the Chinese market and find good products to export, you're still going to be able to make a lot of money.
Right. There's a lot of buffer in terms of
there is a huge profit margin.
Yeah.
Huge profit margin.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm looking at like everything from bicycles to televisions to like basically like any kind of like household life. Dude, I was looking at a computer monitor because I left all of my computer equipment and everything at home, and eventually I have to need to rebuild a PC and have a monitor and all that kind of stuff. I found a 75-inch TV, 4K LED for $250 equivalent in US.
It's like peanuts. Yeah.
You know, a computer monitor is like a 32-inch 4K monitor is like 60.
Yeah.
US equivalent. Wow. You know, so it's like, and I get that there is the cost of shipping it overseas, which adds quite a bit to the bottom line. But still, I didn't realize how big the profit margins were. They must be massive.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a reason why we don't make anything anymore, you know?
Yeah, I know. So, I know. I'm looking at some of this stuff. I'm like, how do you justify it being that low? Oh, wait a second. You manufacture it here with locally sourced parts. Like, it's got to be, it's dirt cheap. I mean, if you want to, the funny thing is Chinese people will, at least the ones that I've met so far and people I've spoken to, will actually look to Japanese and American products. Like they consider the, I don't want to say they, because I've only got like a small sample size of Chinese people that I've spoken to so far. But of the ones I've spoken to, they say that like if the goods are made in China, they could, it could just be low quality. But if they buy from Japan, they know it's going to be higher quality. Or if they buy American goods. Like I saw a Zara here. I don't know, that's not an American store per se, but it's like, it's American styled store. You know, they'll look to like Western retail products.
Yeah. And sometimes it's a European brand, I think, right?
Yeah. It's European. Yeah. But I mean, Americans were the ones that made it popular. But they'll go shopping at like European and American stores. I see a lot of European cars on the road. I see Audis, I see BMWs, et cetera. And even though there are a lot of like Chinese manufactured cars here, when I've asked about that, it's, well, the idea, the impression is that they're higher quality. And I'm like, it's really funny because like nobody considers a Saab to be a high quality car.
But what's weird is those cars are made in China. That's the thing I don't fully understand. When they say stuff like "we like American products," I'm like what?
Why? I know.
What? Like, which products are you talking about? Because as an American, I can't think of any American made products that I use. Right, I honestly can't think of anything that I buy that regularly that's manufactured. You know, I'm not talking about like food items and stuff, but like manufactured items that are made in America. It's very rare.
Electronic items, especially. Like, it's like, you know, the person I was talking to was talking about Japanese electronics and cars. And I'm like, but the thing is, like,
all made in Japan. I mean, very few of them are made in Japan now. I think all electronics are
sourced from the same component suppliers. So it's just a matter of, like, it's not a matter of do they manufacture it better. It's a matter of, like, what is the quality of the component suppliers? Many of which are located right here in China, if not Taiwan. So I don't really understand.
Yeah, like what? I'm always curious. Like, what are you pointing to? Like the iPhone? Because that's made in China, dude. So I don't know. I still think like I'm still wondering, what are these mythical American products?
I don't really understand. China and Taiwan are basically the bottleneck for electronics manufacturers.
Yeah, everything's so, over there.
Like, you're not going to be able to buy a Japanese or an American electronics product without a ton, if not entirely, Chinese and Taiwanese components in there. So what do you? That's why I said why. I'm like, why do you think that it's of higher quality when the components are either here or in Taiwan?
But what are they talking about? American, because like Zara clothes are not made in Spain or whatever. Like they're made in. They're made in fucking everywhere that every other chain in the world makes their clothes. They're made
Indonesia, Pakistan,
Vietnam, China as well. China, wherever. It's not coming from fucking, Spain or America or anything.
I don't understand. But the funny thing is, like, they'll buy the clothes at those American stores. Like, I see, like, where I live, there's, like, a couple of, like, major malls, and they have, like, Coach and... I don't think there's a Lululemon here, but I've seen like a lot of like the high end brands, like Louis Vuitton and Asics for running shoes and so on. So I see like a lot of the higher end brands in these malls. But the funny thing is, like, they're all Chinese style. Like, what is it with Chinese people and only wearing the colors white, black, and like tan? You have like this entire color spectrum.
It's a new thing. It's a younger thing, isn't it? Is that like a younger thing that you notice?
Well, the older folks, I see a lot of them wearing kind of like navy blue and olive drab. And the younger people I see wearing a lot of white and black. I'm like, you understand that there's a whole wide color spectrum. So anyway, I bring this up because I go into Zara and what do I find in there? White, black, tan, olive. And that's it. That's the whole color spectrum.
I feel like a lot of that's coming from a sort of like East Asian minimalist thing. And you know who's got a little bit of that is Yeezy got a little bit of that, like, just sort of like monic, you know, all his designs and shit are all like these baggy sweats, you know, like expensive sweatshirts and
yeah.
Like a lot of sweatshirts and like streetwear. It's like Japanese streetwear.
I think that's where a lot of that derives from.
I personally don't like that style at all, and it's very prevalent in East Asia. So
it's also prevalent in like even in car purchases. I'm going to send you a message on Weixin just now.
Yeah.
And you'll see it even translates to like cars on the road because out my window is a fairly busy street. And when I look, I'm like, why is every car white, black, and gray? That's it. Like that's occasionally you'll see a blue car. Yeah.
No red cars or anything?
No. It is very rare that you see a red car.
I remember I saw this one dude in some SUV, I don't know, some Chinese-made SUV, and it was, like, wrapped in the Chinese flag.
Oh, that's crazy, Chinese, yeah.
You know, and it was just, like, wrapped in that flag and shit, and it was, like, sparkly, and I was like, it's a Chinese hick, dude.
I was going to say, it's a Chinese equivalent of, like truck nuts.
Chinese flag. He's like, love it!
Yeah.
Love it or leave it.
It's a Ford F-250. You know, it's got the airbrushing on it. got like the blonde babe on the side. Yeah.
Yeah. When he honks the horn, it's like the Communist International.
Yeah. Exactly. Like
extremely rude version of it. You know.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's an EV, so he can't roll coal out here. But hey, he could.
He rolls vape on you, and he's like, "Love it or leave it." You know.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was hilarious! I wanted to meet that guy.
No, that's amazing. That is amazing. But no, it's just super charming out here. Like I will say that for you know for the difficulties I've encountered with language, and I have actually had like a couple of cultural faux pas. Which for example, one of them, I was talking to somebody who wanted to improve her English. Like we struck up a conversation, right? And the thing is, like, she's married, she has a child, and I'm like, well, you know, like, I'm off the market, like, I'm not looking for somebody. Like, we're talking to each other in a strictly platonic sense, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, we got each other's WeChat numbers, and we're talking over WeChat, and she was just texting me, right? And when she would say stuff over text, and I'm like, are you using the translation app by chance? Because some of the words were a bit off, or some of the ways that she was interpreting what I was saying was a bit off. So I was like, are you using the translation app? And she says, I'm using WeChat translation. I'm like, you should just send me voice notes instead, because your English is only going to get better if you learn to speak the language. Like you'll have to speak, and then if there's mistakes, I'll correct you. Just like if I'm saying words in Chinese, the only way that you'll know if I'm pronouncing them correctly or incorrectly is if I'm sending you a voice note. So send me voice notes. And she's like, no, like my English is too bad. She was embarrassed, right? Like she didn't want to sound like me. She didn't want to sound like a retard in English, the way that I do in Chinese. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, well, to put your mind at ease, I tell her the story of like, you know, I had this roommate in college. We met in accounting class. You know, she moved into the vacant room at my place and she like hung out with us, became one of the boys. You know, by the time that we graduated university, she was fluent. We spent like 3 years together. She was hanging out with me and my friends and we all helped her with her English and she was fluent by the end. So I'm trying to explain this to her. Like, you know, we didn't have translation apps in the early 2000s. They didn't exist. Yeah. We didn't have smartphones. We just had to do it the old fashioned way.
We just attacked it. We attacked it directly. We attacked life. We raw dogged it. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. She got so pissed. She got so pissed at me because she thought I was actually talking about raw dogging. Why? She says to me, and I quote, she says, if you're looking for someone to move in and be your roommate, you should talk to Chinese girls who just want to hook up. I'm like, what? Did you wait, hold on a second. We're losing something in translation here. I'm like, what is that?
You're carrying the stink of your predecessors. I think
here's the thing. She thought I was trying to imply to her that she should move in with me and be my roommate so that she can learn English. I'm like, where did you get that from?
Right.
Because apparently, like, so the idea of like
where'd she get that from? Can I tell you where she got that from? I'll tell you where she got that from.
Where?
White dudes.
Are they foreigners? Yeah. Okay. But I was like, you just you just said you're married. I said I have a family too. Like, we're not. I thought we had established that was not a possibility. Like, anyway, here's the thing.
I think those things, like, just
She just thought laughing, I was telling her that.
Like, no, don't worry about that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I felt no, I
would,
so I
mean, that's how I would respond to it. Just be like, no. I mean, and I think also, like, you know, I would even say, like, oh, you know, it's just like, I understand that there's like a certain connotation with some foreigners and stuff, but that's not what I mean. Yeah. At all, you know, like,
well, no, because I guess because it's so. So I was talking to somebody else about this when I explained the faux pas, and they're like, well, it's just not common that like. That like males and females would live together in college. Like this, they're like, it's not allowed here. I'm like, well, maybe not on the dormitories. Like it's not allowed in Canada either. They would live on different floors. Maybe, you know, maybe living in the same building is uncommon, but they wouldn't be in the same building and also
in like a group apartment.
Yeah. I was saying we lived off campus. Like we didn't live on we didn't live on campus. We lived off campus in a rented house. And they're like, yeah, that's still very uncommon here. Like, you know, parents usually wouldn't approve of that. I'm like, okay, but then why was she so upset? She's like, oh, because she.
I don't know. I mean, you were there, not me. Yeah, but yeah. I think that a lot of times that there is a worry, or not a worry, but like an ambient feeling of like the sort of like
creepy relative aggression.
The relative aggression and of foreigners relative to Chinese, like one thing, for example, like. You know how, like, as Americans, mm-hmm. We find Europeans to be pretty touchy. Like, they like to, like, blow kisses at each other and shit. And I used to know a lot of French people because I worked at a French company. And there was a lot of that going on. And I'm like, don't come in for the air kisses thing. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. Just because I don't. That's your thing. I don't really blow air kisses at dudes, dude. I just don't. I know that is completely casual and not a thing. Like that's just what they do. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like,
it's all right, dude. It's all right, dude. You can. Well, I guess you can't say it on the podcast because you want to get canceled on Twitter. So I'll say it for you. What do you think? I'm some kind of fucking faggot?
Oh, I'll say that.
Air kisses to a man?
Dude, I'm not participating in this French faggotry, dude. I'm not. Like, I know for you it's not, but for me, like, it's, I don't know. Like, I don't, blowing kisses and three of them, I don't get it. I'm not part of this. I'm not part of the ritual from which this arose. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand.
But I think that, for example, like, I think, dude, there are things that Americans do that I think Chinese may not. Be that comfortable with, like, and I didn't notice this myself, but like, for example, like I didn't realize I'm sort of a hugger. Like if I meet someone and then later, you know, like,
Me too.
I'll just say, hey, the goodbye hug, you know? And it's not a thing. I'm not coming in for like I'm not trying to come in for the physical intimacy of it. It's just like
slap
on the back kind of thing, you know? But I've noticed, like, Chinese people in China, like, are not, they're not, the hugging is strange. So hugging is strange. I don't hug.
It's handshaking, handshaking is a bit fraught, I've noticed. Like,
handshaking? Really? Okay.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know if it's just because I'm a guy, and a lot of my colleagues are women, but, like, here's the thing. As a Muslim man, I guess you're not supposed to be shaking hands anyway, but I've just, you know, decades of cultural... acculturation, decades of acculturation to handshakes, you're not going to be able to get rid of that right away, right?
Yeah, so, like, it's so natural. Yeah, it's so natural. Yeah,
my immediate impulse is to shake hands with somebody that I've just met. Bro, the amount of dead fish handshakes that I've gotten here, it's crazy.
Oh, yeah. They're not, they don't know what's... It's probably how French feel when I try to kiss them. Like, dude, why are you kissing me?
Yeah, I know. I know, but I don't know. Overall, like, aside from the cultural misunderstandings, I would say that people here have been like super friendly, generous, like very helpful.
Nice.
I think they get like this guy, you know, he's been like dropped into the deep end of the pool and needs a little bit of help. So I notice that people like generally go out of their way to give me help if it looks like I'm having some trouble. And I'm the kind of person, I don't like to bother people. Like, I would much rather simply suffer in silence than ask anybody for anything. To get me to ask somebody for something, it involves a lot of, like, peer pressure.
Yeah.
Right? So, I guess I'm just going to have to get over that at some point, but it's very slow to go away. So, but people kind of notice when I'm having it. If I'm trying to find a shop, I'm looking around, they can see I'm just, like, my eyes are darting around absently. Like I can't, like a child that's just lost his parent, you know, or if like I'm trying to like get on the subway, even though there's like on the Beijing subway, there is an English language mode. It's still like the process of like going onto Alipay, scanning and paying and all that stuff. Once you do it the first time, you know how to do it. But if you haven't done it before, you have to learn. Yeah. So even like a couple of times the subway police have come over, like asked like, hey, do you need any help? In Chinese, of course. And I'll like try to point to where I'm going and they ask me to pull out the app and they help me and send me on my way. So yeah, everyone from just like neighbors and strangers to the police here have been super helpful.
Yeah. One thing I'll notice is that I do think Asia in general, especially like East Asia, China, Japan for sure. I don't know about Korea since I've never been there, but I assume it's probably maybe a bit like this, though the Koreans can be pretty rough and tumble. Like aggression to me is so natural. As a New Yorker, I guess. I don't know. Like I'm just used to like if something, and it's not like mindless aggression, right? But it's like there are times when like in order for you to get shit done here, you got to raise your voice. And it just doesn't have any purchase in fucking Chinese culture. Like
well,
raising
that's
your voice,
your voices are naturally loud. I don't know if it's because of the tone or whatever, but oh my god. Well, then again, it could be that you know the voices are naturally louder in conversations I've observed with between two people that don't involve me. It seems like they're speaking rather loud. The volume goes up about two times with me because I can tell they're like, okay, I don't know if you can understand me, so I will speak very slowly. The station is this way to the subway station. So they're talking to me like I'm a deaf retard.
A lot of retards are also hard of hearing, so I'll just go ahead and raise my voice so that it can penetrate deeper into your brain. And maybe if it gets in deeper, you're on the stand. So let me push my words in a little further into your retarded brain.
Yeah, exactly. Although, you know what I noticed? Sorry to switch the topic here really quickly. I noticed that I've been on Twitter occasionally, and frankly, like what I've been seeing over there, I'm almost like, I don't really want to fucking be there anymore. It's actually gotten to the point where it's just so rancid. But like, there was really bad, bro.
Yeah.
No, it's even being away for like a month and a half and then coming back. And I only came back to just like post about, hey, I'm in China. And, you know, it's really cool here, guys. I came back to basically just do sign up posting. All right. Mm-hmm. And it's fucking awful. Apparently, like Black Americans are the worst people on the face of the earth, according to like the discourse. But there was a video of.
Oh, they're having inverse Rosa Parks moment where some white woman was just openly using the N-word going, I don't care. I'm doing it. I'm gonna use it at work.
Like, bro, she got $300,000.
People are sending her money. Like she's I'm like, there you got it. It's the white MAGA Rosa Parks right there.
You know what she just did? She just upped her donation goal to $1 million.
Oh my god.
That's crazy.
She's like, give me $1 million and every word will be the N-word.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
You know what I saw? Somebody had made a post like, hey, listen, so if you're a white woman, let's make a deal, okay? You use the N-word, I'll record you doing it and pretend to be mad about it. You start a GoFundMe, raise $500,000, and I get a 30% cut. Deal? Deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But the reason I bring up Twitter is because I saw this video of like a young Chinese woman was like yelling at a black woman.
Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to hear this story. But do you mind, because I feel like it'll be interesting, can we flip over to a bonus episode and then tell us the story on the bonus side?
Sure, sure.
All right, so we'll end it here. If you want to listen to... the bonus episode, it'll be on the Patreon feed. To get access to bonus episodes, go to patreon.com/planetmeg.